Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of J-Talk Extra Time. I'm John Steele. In this mini pod, I'm going to be rounding up the weekend action from J3, hopefully just in time for the midweek round that's coming up very shortly, in a few hours actually, as I record this. Anyway, J3 round 24 took place last week. There was one game on Wednesday night. Gamba Osaka's under-23 side drew 0-0 at home against Fukushima at Panasonic Stadium, so we don't need to spend too much time talking about that one. On Friday night, Sanuki beat Fujieda 1-0 at Pikara Stadium. Sanuki now 5 games unbeaten, coming into some form a bit too late to make anything of their season, unfortunately. Noah Kenshin Brown scored the winner. He headed in Iki Kawasaki's free kick 15 minutes away from full time. Brown had been involved earlier in an incident when Sanuki hit the bar. He cleverly, or sneakily, delete as applicable, pushed the Fujieda goalkeeper Takuya Sugimoto underneath a high ball, which caused him to lose the fly to the ball. The ball ended up hitting the underside of the crossbar but not going over the line. So Sanuki winning 1-0. Fujieda could have equalised late on. Their defender Michitaka Akimoto missed an absolute sitter from virtually on the goal line. For Fujieda, their poor mid-season form continues. It's now 7 games without a win for them. On to the weekend's games then. Akita's promotion march continues. They beat Hachinohe 2-1 at home in round 24. Akita got a perfect start. Ryota Nakamura headed in Junior Suzuki's cross in just the 4th minute to make it 1-0. But Hachinohe drew level 5 minutes before half time. Takaya Kuroishi from just outside the penalty area firing in. The ball seemed to take a deflection in order to get it past Akita's goalkeeper Yudai Tanaka, but yes, a good goal for Kuroishi all the same. As usual though, Akita had the answers when they were in a pinch. They went back in front in the 55th minute. It was Nakamura again, and it was another header. He was totally unmarked around the 6-yard box to head in a swirling cross from the centre-back, Han Ho-gang, an unusual source for an assist. He's usually on the end of those deep crosses into the box, but this time he was the provider. So Akita winning 2-1 against Hachinohe. They are so far ahead at the top now, Akita. That's 13 points clear of second place. Albeit this was their first win in 3 matches. They've had their own mini slump by Akita standards, but they seem to be over it now. Roaso Kumamoto are back up to second. As I mentioned, 13 points behind Akita on 45. Kumamoto beat Numazu 1-0 at home in round 24, and this was a first win in 4 matches for them, so another team getting over a mini slump at the moment. So Kawahara rattled a crossbar for Kumamoto just after the hour, with the scoreline still 0-0, and the winner came late on, 13 minutes from time, Kaito Taniguchi guiding home a right-wing cross for his 13th goal of the season. I think that makes him the top scorer in J3 so far. There was also a big save from the Kumamoto goalkeeper Kei Uchiyama from Ibrahim Jr. Kuribara late on. So Numazu might have snatched an equaliser, but I think Kumamoto just about edged it, deserved the 1-0 win. Sagamihara started the weekend in second place, but now they're down to third, and they're 2 points behind Kumamoto on 43. This is because they drew 1-1 away at the fifth place side, FC Gifu, over the weekend. Gifu took the lead in slightly unusual circumstances in the 34th minute. Shohei Aihara's low cross somehow evaded everyone, including the former Gifu goalkeeper Victor, now keeping goal for Sagamihara, and crept in at the far post. So Gifu 1-0 up, but Sagamihara were level before half-time thanks to a penalty. Tadashi Takeda made a clumsy challenge on Naoki Kanuma in the penalty area. Kanuma, I think there was contact, but he made the most of it, a trend we're seeing a lot in the last few rounds. So yeah, penalty was given, and it was scored by Romulo, the Brazilian striker, in first half stoppage time. We should have mentioned it was a Panenka-style penalty clip straight down the middle. Very ballsy and very impressive technique. So 1-1 at the break. And Sagamihara, I think, were the stronger side in the second half, or finished the stronger, certainly. Gifu needed 2 good saves from their goalkeeper, Park Songsu, to preserve that point, that 1-1 draw. So Sagamihara, 9 games unbeaten for them. They're in the thick of the promotion race, kind of surprisingly, but they're up there. Gifu stay in 5th, and they're on 41 points. So they're 4 points off the promotion places right now. Sandwiched in between 3rd place Sagamihara and 5th place Gifu are Nagano in 4th on 42 points. They went down to a surprise 1-0 home defeat in round 24 against Toyama, and that's two straight defeats for Nagano now. The winning goal came midway through the second half. Nagano made a mess of defending a corner, and when the ball was returned, you know, it came back into the box. Nobuyuki Shina was able to head it past the goalkeeper. Toyama could have had a second. Yohei Ono scored, but the goal was pretty harshly, in my opinion, disallowed for a foul. So, yeah, things could have been even better for Toyama. But, yeah, surprise 1-0 home defeat for Nagano in that game. So they're in fourth. 6th place Kagoshima also suffered a 1-0 home defeat in round 24. This was against 8th place Imabari, so not as shocking, but still I think a disappointing result for them. Imabari scored in just the 4th minute, a thumping half volley from Shungo Tamashiro, which proved to be the winner. Some very good work from Yuichi Komeno in the build-up to that goal as well. Now Kagoshima should have levelled shortly afterwards, but Taku Ushinohama managed to hook the ball over the crossbar from about 2 yards out. It really should have been 1-1 in about the 15th minute. And Kagoshima, again without the important Brazilian midfielder Nildo in the matchday squad, I think he's injured at the moment. Kagoshima also had a late shout for a penalty, which wasn't given. I'm not sure it was a penalty, but definitely it will be in the category of penalties you've seen given in the past, so they might feel a little bit hard done to. But yes, they ended up losing 1-0 to Imabari. That leaves Kagoshima on 37 points. They're 8 points off a promotion spot at the moment, with just 10 games to go. Imabari 1 point further back, but 2 places there in 8th. 7th place to Tottori, a level on 37 points with Kagoshima. They also lost 1-0 at home at the weekend, so this was the popular scoreline in the J3 games, a 1-0 home defeat. Tottori lost 1-0 at home to the bottom side, Seretse Osaka's under-23 team. Seretse, incredible incident in the first half. Seretse looked like they should have had a penalty when Ryudai Maeda was clearly brought down in full flight by the Tottori goalkeeper Ken Tajiri. Amazingly, nothing was given and the players didn't seem to protest too much. It looked like an absolute stonewall penalty to me. But 0-0 at half time, and Tajiri's opposite number, Takumi Nagaishi, in goal for Seretse Osaka under 23s. He was excellent in the second half. He made 3 good saves to keep the scores level, and yes, the visitors ended up winning it in the very last minute. Shota Fujio, a player we've mentioned many times on the pod this year, finished beautifully after being played in by Sota Kitano. For Tottori, it's the 3rd defeat in the last 5 games for them, and yes, promotion looks like it's out of reach now for me. They could still, I guess, get up there with a late run, but it doesn't look like it's going to happen this season. The last match on the slate was probably the most entertaining one, but with the least significance in the round 24 games. YSCC and Iwate drew 2-2 at Mitsuzawa. Iwate took a very early lead in this game, 7 minutes. Their Brazilian attacker Morelato swept in a low cross. He's getting more and more impressive by the week, actually, Morelato, and he put Iwate in front early on here. YSCC were level before the half hour, with Shoma Otoizumi driving in a loose ball inside the penalty area. But Iwate were back in front pretty much straight after half-time, the 46th minute. Morelato was the provider this time, and his low cross was converted by Masaomi Nakano, a player who I think is on loan at Iwate from Tokyo Verde, but a good finish from him. It was 2-1. Then the YSCC goalkeeper, Issei Oichi, had to make a good save from Taisuke Nakamura to keep the score down. And yes, for the last 10 minutes, YSCC boss Yuki Stauff brought on the young attacker Jorn Pedersen, and he grabbed the equaliser in the 85th minute. He was able to head in Tomoya Uemura's left wing cross to make it 2-2. Pedersen even had a chance to win it for YSCC at the death. Unfortunately, his shot was straight down the throat of the Iwate goalkeeper Kohei Doi, and yeah, the game finished 2-2, but exciting stuff. Small crowd at Mitsuzawa as usual for a YSCC home game, but they were treated to a pretty entertaining match, I think. Okay, that's a wrap-up of the round 24 games from the weekend in J3, hopefully short but sweet. Looking ahead, Wednesday, the 3rd of November, it's a national holiday in Japan, and there's a full round of J3 games in this midweek with most of the games on Tuesday. So we'll take a look at the round 25 fixtures now before I disappear. On Tuesday, November 3rd, there are 7 matches, most of the games kicking off at 1 p.m. We have second place Kumamoto away at Hachinohe in 16th place. Leaders Akita host 15th place Sanuki. Sanuki have been in a good run of form at the moment, but you have to imagine the leaders Akita will be too strong for them in that game. Third place Sagamihara, bang in form, hosting 10th place Fujieda, bang out of form, so you'd expect maybe Sagamihara to be in charge there. In other games, Numazu host Tottori, Imabari host Gamba Osaka's under 23 side. There are also two games at 2 p.m. with Iwate hosting Fukushima and Toyama taking on Kagoshima. And there are two matches on Wednesday evening, that's November the 4th, these games both at 7 p.m. 5th place Gifu are away at YSCC second bottom at the moment. And another big game is 4th place Nagano on the road at the bottom side, Seretse Osaka's under 23 team. So yeah, 7 games on Tuesday, 2 games on Wednesday for the round 25 slate. I think if I had to pick a game as the pick of the bunch, it's probably Sagamihara against Fujieda, isn't it? 3rd versus 10th. But Fujieda, we know, are a dangerous side who can turn it on. And they're bound to snap out of their bad runner form sometimes. So I think Sagamihara against Fujieda, probably the pick of the round 25 games for me. Okay, everybody, it was a short and sweet wrap-up of the round 24 games this week and a quick look ahead to round 25. Hope that was enjoyable. Thanks, as always, for listening and downloading. Me and Stu, Ben, everybody, Sam, involved with the big pod and the small pod, we really appreciate it, especially if you back us as a patron. We really appreciate that as well. And yes, I think Stu and I are going to be back together sooner rather than later, and we'll have a chance to talk turkey about the state of J3 and J2. But that's all for this mini pod. Enjoy the midweek football. I know there's J2 games on Wednesday night as well. And we'll speak to you again soon. Bye for now.